class we visited today as well. But hope you've had a good day, and it's nice to be able to come and conclude this Lord's Day together in worship and here at Psalm 100. Follow along as I read from the New American Standard this evening, Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves, or some of your translations render it, and His we are. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this opportunity to visit a familiar friend, this psalm that we, most of us, have memorized at one point in our lives. We've heard it so often. We've recited it so often. But Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would allow us to see it with fresh eyes tonight. May it continue to serve as part of this Lord's Day in preparing us for this week of Thanksgiving and a holiday season. And Lord, we thank You for Your work in our midst and in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few years ago, my son and I decided to get into some recreation together, and we joined a karate dojo and had a lot of fun doing that. It was a good recreation, a good distraction, and the door opened up for both of us to compete a little bit here and there in our area or in Petersburg or in Richmond at different tournaments. And from time to time, we'd get a brochure about an upcoming tournament in the mail, and these brochures usually came out a few months prior to the event, and I'll never forget what one of the brochures said every year when it came out. It advertised this large tournament that was going to be at Petersburg, and there was always a subtitle that says, "Train hard, because your competition is." And here, several months out, that brochure was taunting us. You better train hard, because somewhere in the Commonwealth of Virginia, at another dojo, the guy you're going to have to spar against is training hard, hoping to beat you. And I'll never get over those words. They haunted me as I would train and my son would train. And those words worked on us. What was the message that those words delivered to us? Take pains now, or you'll miss something great then. Or look at it this way. If my son and I would choose to ignore the training, when the tournament got here, our opponents wouldn't be the ones who would suffer. We would suffer. We would be the ones to suffer. And it was a good warning on that brochure. You know, I want to give you a warning. I want to give all of us a warning this evening as we get ready to crest into this week. And here's the warning. Don't miss Thanksgiving this week. Don't miss Thanksgiving this year. So what are you talking about? Well, I'm not talking about necessarily a day. I'm not talking about don't sleep in on Thursday and miss part of the day. I'm not talking about losing track of how fast this week's going to go, and we know how fast it'll go. I'm not talking about worrying too much about your Christmas setup. I'm not talking about the anxiety of which parade to watch. I'm not talking about even the colonial service attendance this Thursday morning. When I give you this warning not to miss Thanksgiving, it's not about a day. What are you talking about? I'm making an appeal to all of us tonight that we not miss Thanksgiving this week by failing to enjoy the posture of giving thanks this week. We've all traveled this road before, this week of Thanksgiving. We know that it can get busy and crowd out our giving of thanks. We know that our houses can become full with company, or we ourselves become company in someone else's full house, and we never get around to giving thanks. We know what it means to travel. We know what it means to get caught up in sports. We know what it means to perhaps host Thanksgiving for someone, and you need to outdo whoever hosted it last year or outdo yourself in what you did last year. Maybe we get caught up in the shopping scene. But we've all experienced it before. We get to the end of this week and we look back and there was a lot of activity. There were a lot of maybe good memories, but there was very little, if any, seasons of being thankful. And we miss Thanksgiving. And let me give you a little fact about this warning. If you and I miss out on having a posture of giving thanks this year, this week, listen, God is not the one who suffers. If we don't give thanks this week, if we don't have a posture of giving of thanks throughout this week, God doesn't suffer. You suffer. And I suffer. That's why I'm glad to come to this familiar psalm tonight. It's a great psalm to greet us at the very beginning of this special week. Psalm 100 is known as, in some circles, the classic Thanksgiving psalm. Some have named it the Jubilate. It means, oh, be joyful. This particular psalm is a capstone of psalms that goes all the way back into the mid-90s of the psalms that focused on God's kingship over all of creation. It's a very simple structure. In verses 1 and 2, there's a call to praise. In verse 3, there's a celebration of covenant. And then verses 4 through 5, it repeats that again. It's a very familiar psalm. You know that there are 7 commands in this psalm. Shout and serve and come and know and enter and give and bless. Spurgeon used to look at this psalm and remind his people where he was pastoring that this 100th psalm is, quote, a cluster of grapes from Eshcol, meaning when the children of Israel sent their spies in to spy out the land that God had promised them, they brought back amazing displays of grapes and fruitfulness in the land. A promise, if you would, of what was coming from their promise-keeping God, their covenant-keeping God. Spurgeon says, this psalm is a cluster of wonderful grapes. St. Augustine looked at this psalm and he said, the verses are few, but big with great subjects. And again, Spurgeon told his congregation about this psalm with these words. He said, this psalm is ablaze with grateful adoration and has for this reason been a great favorite with the people of God ever since it was written. Let us sing the old 100th is one of the everyday expressions in the Christian church. And while they be so while men exist whose hearts are loyal to the great King, they will sing this psalm. But what I like about this psalm tonight is this. This psalm clearly points out what you and I miss out on. If we go into Thanksgiving week failing to have a posture of thanksgiving. So what do you miss out on if you don't give thanks? What will you miss? I'd like to just stop briefly into each of these 5 verses tonight, just ever so briefly. Each verse is going to give us at least one thing that you will miss this week if you get too busy and you miss Thanksgiving. First of all, in verse 1, if you miss Thanksgiving this week, you exclude yourself from the universal chorus. You exclude yourself from the universal chorus. Look at verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. I like what Dylitch says. He says, this is like a single trumpet blast beginning this psalm. It's a call to worship. And the invitation goes out to all the earth. This is similar to what we saw in Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Psalm 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. It's like a trumpet blast announcing it's time to worship. And not just with half-hearted resolve. The call is to shout. The call is to not hold back the praise of Jesus, the praise of the Lord, the praise of the Old Testament covenant-keeping God. This call is going out through the nation. A nation that was given great promise, had entered covenant with this God, the true God, the God of truth, who pursued this nation, formed this nation for His own glory. And as God nourished this nation and developed her into His people, it was for His glory, so that the other nations would look in on the relationship between the true God and His people, and the other nations would come to this true God when they saw His glory in His people. This invitation is to all the nations now. Join the chorus of the glory of the true God. Spurgeon says, our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. Not just the nation of Israel, but all the nations as they watch His activity and His faithfulness. As a matter of fact, back in Psalm 98, verse 1, you see how God's faithfulness to His nation is an occasion for the nations to come and worship the true God. Verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. Now all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Wow. You know what's going on here? Just in this first verse of this psalm, there's a crescendo beginning to happen. It started with God in pursuing the nation and fashioning this nation into His people. And as His glory is beheld and His relationship with His people, the other nations are invited to come in. And the crescendo continues to build. And here we stand now in New Testament times. We look back at this psalm through the lens of the New Testament. Can we relate to this? Can we relate to a building crescendo of the praise of God? My mind goes to Colossians 1, where Pastor was this morning. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Listen, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Paul says, my heart is full of thanksgiving because this gospel that landed in your midst is also landing in the midst of the rest of the world, if you will. And it's bearing fruit. And this crescendo that we read about in Psalm 100 continues to build into our day, continues to build through the spread of the gospel. The crescendo of the nations is building. Why would you and why would I want to drop out of this chorus now by not giving thanks? You see, if we get busy in ministry, if we get busy in family, if we get busy in our pace this week, what we are doing is we are voluntarily pulling our voice out of a universally crescendoing chorus to the glory of God. When you and I cease to give thanks, we exclude ourselves from the universal chorus that is building. Not only do we isolate ourselves when we don't give thanks, but we also starve ourselves too. And this is going to take us to verse 2 and the second thing that we miss out on when we don't give thanks. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. What else do we miss out on when we cease to have a posture of thanksgiving? Here it is. When you are not thankful, you deprive yourself of the highest ministry motive. The highest ministry motive. Again, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. There is a parallel reality here, melding together the concepts of serving and coming before Him with joy. It's as if your serving is a sailboat and a sail, but the gale The wind in your sail is gladness. It's joy over the glory of the Lord. You don't serve the Lord. You're not active in His work just to do it. You're not active serving the Lord and living a Christ-centered life, living a godly life in your marriage or in your home or at work. You're not doing all that out of guilt. You're not doing that because, well, it's an assignment. You're doing that because your heart is full of singing and joy and gladness. It's a high ministry motive for your serving. Kidner, in his commentary, says this: praise and prayer go stagnant in isolation, and activity goes sterile, end quote. We can be busy for the Lord, and we can be doing a lot for His name, and doing a lot and trying to live His life out in our homes and in our marriages and in our relationships, in public and in private. But if we're doing it just out of a morbid obligation, it's senseless and it's lifeless. But here in verse 2, he's saying, when there is joy over His goodness, when there is gladness filling your service, ah, what a high ministry motive. And how do we, in the New Testament time, New Testament age, look back at a psalm like this, at a verse like this? My mind goes to Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? The gospel at work in your life, the gospel that rescued you, the gospel that is transforming you. When you meditate on that gospel, when you soak yourself in the truths of that gospel, it fills your heart with gladness. It fills your heart with joy. And watch this. It finally gives you the right motive to serve Christ. You don't serve Him to pay Him back. Perish that thought. You can't pay Him back one moment or one cent for all He's done for you. But His glory that's been on display in your rescue and in your transformation, that fills your heart with a song. It fills it with gratitude. And now you serve Him with the highest ministry motive, His glory. But if you and I miss Thanksgiving this week, we deprive ourselves of this high ministry motive. Thirdly, what do you miss? What do you miss? How do you suffer if you miss Thanksgiving this week? It's in verse 3. I word it this way. If you and I do not maintain a posture of thanksgiving, we exalt ourselves as an independent and self-sufficient person. You exalt yourself as an independent and self-sufficient person. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's fascinating. The psalm writer is saying the covenant name, Jehovah, is the only true God. And he says, you must know this. Leupold says, this is a deep knowledge, an inner acceptance. Or again, Spurgeon says, our worship must be intelligent. You worship with great confidence the true God. The nation's being reminded here, the nation of Israel, don't stray from the one that you depend on. My mind goes to Deuteronomy 32:6 to this warning. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not He your Father who has bought you? He has made you, and He has established you. Now watch this. If that's true for the nation, it's true for the individuals of that nation. How can we exalt ourselves by missing Thanksgiving? We exalt ourselves against the one who is, number one, supreme. He is the true God. Number two, He alone is the creator. It is He who has made us. Number three, He is the owner. We are His people. And number four, He is our shepherd, our sustainer. How can you and I exalt ourselves through thanklessness against a God like that? Say, well, how do we, from a New Testament perspective, look back at verse 3? Are we guilty of this? Well, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul gives his testimony. He says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses,' Paul writes, 'so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" What a promise. What a promise. "In my weakness, I'll know His strength." It's a great promise. Or my mind goes to Ephesians 3, where Paul is praying these words, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man." And I could go to many other passages like this where the New Testament Christian has the promises of the all-sufficiency of Christ directed towards His people. What kind of a Christian am I? If I choose to excise myself, if I choose to practically remove myself and exalt myself through a lack of thanksgiving, when I don't give thanks, I am showing God my back. And I'm saying, "I got this. I will not acknowledge your help to me." Look at it this way. A lack of thankfulness is a declaration of independence. Thankfulness is a declaration of dependence. "Lord, I couldn't do it without you. I can do nothing without you. Thank you for your resurrection power that's at work in my life. Thank you for being the true God, the Creator, the Rescuer, the Sustainer, my Shepherd." Thankfulness is costly. But not being thankful is more costly. Because we miss one more thing, or two more things, when we aren't thankful. The fourth thing that you and I miss is in verse 4. Look at verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." When you miss thanksgiving, number 4, you limit yourself from direct access to His presence. See, what do you mean by this? As we come into verse 4, where it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." I like what Robert Alter says in his commentary. He says, in this verse, we move from the zone of the profane into the sacred precincts of the temple. We go from where, outside of the premises where Gentiles can be, we're going to where only Jews could be. And those Jews maybe had made a pilgrimage, several days of a pilgrimage, to get to the proximity of the presence of God and to worship. Verse 4 is a great promise to those who would make this pilgrimage to worship and offer their thanksgiving to the true God. But how do I view verse 4 as a New Testament Christian? Here's how I view verse 4. I get to walk right past the gates, right through the court, and where the Jews could never go, right into the Holy of Holies. The author of Hebrews writes these words in chapter 4, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And listen to this. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Wow. But you say, what if I'm not thankful? What if I'm not thankful? Listen, if you're not thankful, you'll make no effort to enjoy this direct access you have to His presence that even trumps what the Jews had. You limit yourself. In a sense, you turn your back. But there's one more thing you miss out on when you're not thankful. Number five, you blind yourself to seeing His faithfulness to His Word. You blind yourself to seeing His faithfulness to His Word. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Look at that verse. You have His goodness on display. You have His covenant loyalty on display, and you have His faithfulness on display. I'd like to suggest this. His goodness is measured against what He said. His covenant loyalty is measured against what He said. God's faithfulness is measured against what He has said. When you and I approach the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving, we have every opportunity to thank Him for keeping His promises, for being faithful to what He has said. Again, Spurgeon put it this way, a changeable God would be a terror to the righteous. They would have no sure anchor, and amid a changing world, they would be driven to and fro in perpetual fear of shipwreck, end quote. Isaac Watts loved the 100th Psalm, and he wrote a hymn based on it. The hymn is preserved today. It's called Before Jehovah's Awful Throne. It comes from this psalm. And as he gets to this part of the psalm, these are the words Isaac Watts penned. Wide as the world is thy command, vast as eternity thy love, firm as a rock thy truth shall stand, when rolling years shall cease to move. You say, well, how do I view verse 5 from the standpoint of being a New Testament Christian? I hold on to those precious verses, you know. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that in Christ we have everything that pertains to life and godliness, the promises we have in Christ. Or Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Or as one pastor put it, God's Word alone is sufficient to tell me what's right, what's wrong, how to fix what's wrong, and how to keep right what's right. I don't know about you, but that sounds like that covers all of life. That covers any spiritual need any person, whoever takes a breath, will ever face on this planet. And you and I can rejoice that God keeps His promises. But if you and I miss Thanksgiving this week, we blind ourselves to seeing His faithfulness to His Word. So that's my challenge to you. It's kind of a negative challenge tonight. Sounded negative to me. Don't miss Thanksgiving this week. Don't miss Thanksgiving by failing to enjoy the posture of giving thanks because you got too busy, because you had company, because of the traveling, because of the sports, because of the shopping, because of the hosting. Because if you miss out on Thanksgiving this year, and maybe again, God's not the one who suffers, you suffer. You exclude yourself from the universal course. You deprive yourself of the highest ministry motive. You exalt yourself as independent and self-sufficient. You limit yourself from direct access to His presence. And you blind yourself to seeing His faithfulness to His Word. Let me make this positive, though. How about if we do that in closing? What can you enjoy this week? If you celebrate Thanksgiving, if you have a posture of giving thanks, let me reword these. Number one, if you have a posture of giving thanks, it includes you with the chorus of the redeemed of the nations. It infuses you with an amazing motivation for service. Thanksgiving humbles you with a fresh awareness of your dependence. Thanksgiving overwhelms you with regards to the amazing access you have to God. And Thanksgiving reminds you of God's faithfulness to His Word. Wow. You know what this means? Thanksgiving, this week, highlights the gospel in your life. You say, well, how can I maintain a posture of giving thanks? Not only this week, but all year long. Five suggestions and we're done. Five suggestions, 10 words in total. How can you not miss Thanksgiving this week? Number one, start early. Start early. Start early in the week, pausing and being still and finding a special song for each day this week that you'll carry in your heart. Start early this week, even tonight or tomorrow, by praying more than usual. Start early. Don't wait till Thursday. Number two, read extra. Perhaps you have your devotions in the morning. Continue to have them in the morning. Throw some down at a coffee break in the afternoon as well. And maybe in the evening, as you pillow your head, go back into the Word. Read extra this week. Not for legalistic purposes, because you're celebrating the faithfulness of God. A thankful heart must be an informed heart. We never thank out of a vacuum. Start early. Read extra. Number three, be still. Just be still. As you go into this week, be still. There's to be no ADHD this week. You know what that stands for? Attention deficit holiday distractions. Just be still. When you come home from work or you're done with school, it's okay to sit and be still and reflect on God. Number four, speak often. Speak often this week. Tell others every day what you are thankful for and ask them what they're thankful for. You start the conversation. Don't just wait till dessert is past Thursday. Make it a week-long conversation. So start early, read extra, be still, speak often, and number five, look ahead. Look ahead. You say, what do you mean by that? I like what Charles Feinberg and Phillips and other commentators point out about Psalm 100. Yes, we're reading a Jewish psalm about their system of worship in the Old Testament. I understand that. But you also understand this, that if we read this carefully against the backdrop of the rest of the Scriptures, we're reading a script. We're reading words that will be used again at a coronation in the future. Feinberg does a great job arguing that we need to read Psalm 100 as New Testament Christians with a view to the millennial kingdom here on earth. And as you thank God for His faithfulness in the past, you're just warming up to say these same words again in the future with the redeemed of the nations. Look ahead. As a matter of fact, as I read one more time through this psalm, think of the coronation of Jesus on earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Don't miss Thanksgiving this week. Maybe, just maybe, if we catch Thanksgiving this year, this week, it might last beyond this week. We might make it a full lap of a year being thankful. And maybe it'll turn into a life of thanksgiving. None of us know how old we are. May this be the Thanksgiving that started something new in our lives, where the rest of the time we have here in this life, we are thankful people to the one true God. Don't miss Thanksgiving. If you do, God doesn't suffer. You suffer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this simple, familiar psalm. I pray, Lord, that as we sing this final song, that our hearts will be full of praise, that we as New Testament Christians looking back at this 100th psalm will be doing so through the lens of Jesus and looking forward with this psalm to singing it again in your earthly kingdom to you with the redeemed of the nations. Now, we have a North American holiday this week, Lord, but it is an occasion for us to ask, are we thankful? And may this celebration in our country this week move us back to a posture of giving of thanks every day and year round, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's stand and sing together.